Well, welcome everybody. Glad to see you today. Everybody online, thank you for being with us. Please share and send a comment. The comments, you say things like, the pastor's so good looking. What a great word. Those are the kind of things we, and so send us a word online, and if you have a prayer request as well online, you can send that and share with somebody. God bless you. We've been studying out of Nehemiah. I felt the Lord speak to me to do a short series out of this, the seven enemies of our destiny, things that the devil will try to bring against us to stop us from going forward in God. And so we started out last week, a quick review for those that might not have been here with us, is that the word, every time there's a name in the Bible, it means something. Nehemiah means Jehovah comforts. That's what it means. Nehemiah was God's ambassador to a broken people, to a hurt people, and his job was to rebuild the walls. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit rebuilding our lives, rebuilding our city, rebuilding our nation. It's just a picture of God taking broken things and putting them back together and how the enemy tries to resist that. So the story is this, that Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king of Babylon who controlled the entire region, including Jerusalem. And Nehemiah had heard that the people in Jerusalem were being greatly oppressed and the walls had been broken down. So he went to that king and he asked him if he could go to help the people. And the king, I love what his response, basically, it's go do something about it. And our God always tells us to go do something about it. And he gave him men, he gave him lumber, he gave him an army to go and do what he needed, some military people to go with him. When he got there, there was several different people, but two in particular, and I'm not going to go into all their meanings today, but Sanballat and Tobiah, they began to resist the restoration. Whenever you begin to make progress in your life, your marriage, your ministry, whatever it might be, there's always somebody that doesn't like it. There's always somebody who's going to resist it, some kind of a spiritual dynamic that will come against you. So last week we started off talking about the spirit of intimidation and how the first thing the devil will always do when God's getting ready to do something in your life is try to speak intimidation into your life, try to break you down. He'll mock you, belittle you, tell you you're not good enough, tell you you're not worthy. All of these type of feelings come. They come from within yourself. They come from outside of yourself. They come all kinds of ways, but that intimidation is real. And it does, recently in our country, we have had to face fear, a lot of fear. There's just been this spirit of fear that has come over medical workers and all kind of people, police officers. There's a fear that has come, and that's an intimidation. It's the first thing that the devil will always try to do when God's getting ready to do something great. Now, I want to say to you once again, I do not believe our nation is going down. I believe God's reconstructing our nation right now. I believe great things are getting ready to happen. It's a powerful moment in our country, and so the devil is very upset about it and trying to intimidate. So today, I'm going to shift into this discouragement, and as Pastor Brad said, Wednesday night, we will be dealing with confusion. You really don't want to miss that. All of us have to fight through spirits of confusion, just we're not sure what to do and how that works. And so, but today, discouragement. It's designed by the devil to stop your faith and to stop and hinder your vision. So let me read our text, Nehemiah 4, verse 10 through 14. It said, Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause their work to cease. So it was, when the Jews who dwelt near them came, they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose, and I said to the nobles and to the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Everybody say 10 times. 10 times they received a threat. So when the enemy comes, he comes in, it's not just a one-time thing, it's 10 times. In the Bible, the number 10 is always the number of testing. So this is a real test. You can't have a testimony unless you've had a test. And so there's a test that will come against you. But Nehemiah understood that, and he would not be distracted by that testing. At some point in your Christian life, I don't know where it's going to be, and probably several times during your Christian life, you're going to find out that you have to pass a test to move forward into your destiny. To push into your destiny, you not only have to be a builder, where you're building your marriage, building your employment, building your job, whatever it might be. You're not only a builder, but somewhere you must become a warrior. Everybody say warrior. Now, even if your disposition is not inclined to war, to stay alive, there are times that you're going to have to learn how to fight. Now, we don't fight flesh and blood. We fight spirits. But we understand that there's a real battle. And we know, the Bible says to us, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So one of the first things the devil will do is try to steal your joy and discourage you. Because if he can take your joy away, joy is not an emotion. It's not something where you walk around smiling all the time. Joy is the ability to see into the future just a bit and see what God's great work is going to be. So Jesus had joy when he looked past the cross and he saw all the people that could be saved because of the cross. And so our joy is to be able to see through what's going on and see what God's getting ready to do. Amen. And so the devil comes to discourage us about what might be getting ready to happen in your home, your ministry, your work, or whatever. And he tries to work against that. The only thing one of the greatest things that you need to do is realize the devil is attacking you. Sometimes we don't realize it's the devil. We think it's our wife, our husband, our kids, our job. No. You need to first of all understand where it's coming from and that it's an assault to discourage you about your marriage, to discourage you about your family, about your ministry, about your health. To overcome that, you've got to learn to fight. Nehemiah, in our text, made everybody a warrior. He gave everybody a sword, a spear, a bow. Everybody was made ready. And so when the enemy noticed that they were ready, it caused a reaction back into the enemy, and he became discouraged. Are you following me? There's something about that intimidation in that place. So first of all, they're working at what they're doing, but now they have to start fighting. And there comes a time where you have to fight for your ministry, your families, your home. You got to fight to overcome. You have to become what I call a worshiping warrior. A worshiping warrior. Now, I'm not always a great fan of some people, but I have to say this last week, my hat's off to John MacArthur, okay? That boy stood up and fought, amen. Do you know who he is? He's a pastor of a big church in California. And he said, no, you're not going to stop us. And that last week they had 7,000 people in attendance. Okay, wall to wall. They weren't worried about nothing. They were having church all the way out into the parking lot. The state tried to intimidate, said, well, we're going to charge you $1,000. He said, charge whatever you want. We're having church. Okay, he didn't back down. We're worshiping. I appreciate that. And yesterday they won the legal battle and they get to have church. The judge sided with him. So I appreciate that he did not back down to intimidation and he didn't allow the discouragement of the fear of all the things going on in California. But he stood up. And once you stand up, then the enemy gets discouraged. It's an amazing thing. It's just the way it works. Now I want to show you something. Revelations 1 verse 5. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us, what did he make us? Kings and priests. To our God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, every one of us in this room has been made by Christ. If you're a Christian, if you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you have been made a king and a priest. Let me explain that for a moment. The priest part of you is the worshiping part, the building part, the edifying part. You're building people, you're building lives, you're edifying people, you're worshiping God. That's the priest part of you. The king part of you is the warring part. It's the part that conquers, that establishes dominion, that wars and won't let go of territory, won't let go of the family, won't let go of your marriage, won't let go of things. It holds on. It won't allow the devil to steal from you. So the Bible says that we're made both, a king and a priest. So whenever you're feeling this assault come against you, you can't just sit back and decide, well, I'm going to let whatever will be. No, you have to stand up and say, no, I'm going forward right now. We're not going backwards. The Lord's reconstructing the nation. Why would we stop? Why should the church shut down right now? I mean, honestly, this is when the voice of a church, this is what a church is all about. Helping people during difficult times. It's not the time to close the door. It's time to say we're here to help. But you have to stand up. And I want to say something to you. Just because something happens in the world, whatever it is, God never changes his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he established the church to be a church, it's still a church. It doesn't matter who's in charge or whatever. God's in charge. Amen. So somewhere, when there's a difficult moment, we have to learn that we're not just builders, but we're fighter. And we have to realize that the devil is trying to steal our destiny, and we have to actually stand up and verbalize back. Sometimes you got to get verbal with it. I know you look like an idiot standing there in your shower, but just do it anyway. Devil, you're not taking my children. You're not taking my family. You're not taking my marriage. You're not shutting the doors. You're not stealing my inheritance. You have to stand up and declare what God has, because you cannot give yourself over to a spirit of discouragement. There's a spirit that will come to discourage you. Here's how you beat discouragement. It's really simple. Get into God's presence, build and fight. Everybody say it with me. Build and fight. Well, Pastor, I'm just a lover. Listen, we need lovers. I appreciate that you're a lover, but get you a big bat. Love with a bat in your hand. Somewhere you got to learn to fight back. Somewhere you have to realize that if you don't hold on to what you've gained, the devil will steal it. You'll lose what you gain. You've got to face off with him. You've got to rebuke him 10 times. A bombardment came against them. 10 times he tried to break them down and discourage them, steal their courage. Discouraged, to disconnect them from courage. 10 times this came to them. But somewhere you've got to get that spirit that Jacob had. Remember when Jacob fought the angel? Can you imagine wrestling with an angel? First of all, that's pretty trippy. But when you wrestle with the angel and he hits you in the leg and cripples you for life, that's kind of scary right there. And then this guy had enough guts to say, oh no, we're not done fighting yet. You're not going nowhere until you bless me. Something about that spirit moved God's heart. I think sometimes when we're in prayer and we're just there and we get tired after an hour and we feel the presence of the Lord lift up or whatever, we get up and where do we head? For the Burger King. What we need to do is grab hold of God and say, no, not yet. Not yet. I'm not done. Until I receive a blessing, until I receive the anointing of God right now, I'm not done with this prayer meeting. Amen. Something about that stirs God. That's where you rise up and you're a fighter and you're holding on to something and you want this. And so this is what was so powerful about Nehemiah. The Bible says that it took them 52 days to rebuild all the walls and hang the gates. Scholars and historians tell us that should have taken 4.5 years. But they was able to accomplish it in 52 days. Why? Because they figured out how to fight as well as build. When you only build, you're always looking over your shoulder, scared, afraid, don't know what to do, afraid to go down to Lowe's and get any lumber. But they got their swords. They got their spears and their arrows. They said, if an enemy jumps up over this wall, I'll shoot him in the neck. Was that a little too rough for you guys? I'll shoot him. Somewhere you got to fight. Somewhere you got to stand up. So here, listen, here's what we've done, and I'm not belittling this at all. We have to have both sides, priest and king. But we've become pretty good over the years at being praisers, worshipers. But we haven't become very good at being warriors. It's going to take both. You have to be a worshiping warrior. You have to have both sides. You have to know that God, you watch over your word to perform it. I can trust you and I will fight with you and I will worship. Amen. One of the great stories of the Bible, I've shared it before, but I'll take a moment to share it again today, is when Israel came out of Egypt. They'd come out of Egypt and they were going through the desert and they're surrounded by their enemies. And at first they don't even know they're surrounded. They're going through a long pass of like a gully, if you will. And on either side are mountains. And up on top of these mountains are the Amalekites. Amalekites are watching them. So as they're marching down through this valley, I mean, can I tell you something about the Middle East? It's about 125 degrees over there right now. It's not an easy march. They're marching down through this valley, and as time goes on, Moses and the young warriors and they're ready. They're in pace, and they're pulling out ahead of the pack. They're not really catching on to what's happening. What's happening is the old and the young and the weary are starting to fall further and further back. The young bucks are strong and they're moving forward, but the older ones are falling backwards. And the Bible says that the Amalekites are studying them, watching them, and that they're going to attack. When they attacked, the Bible says they attacked their weakness. They did not, hear me, the devil will study you and then attack your weakness, not your strength. He's not coming after your strength. You're real good at praising, so he'll come and get you in your warfare side. You're real good at this, so he'll come there. He comes to your weakness and rain down on them. And the Bible says that God was very offended at this method. It really offended God. I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 25, verse 17. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt? How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks? All of the stragglers at your rear, notice when he attacks, when you are tired and weary, and he did not fear God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around, in the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. In other words, here's what God's saying. Whenever that devil attacks you, whenever Amalek, that spirit, studies you and starts attacking your vulnerable, your weak moments, when you do, you know, something horrible has just happened. I don't know, I'll make up something. Something, there's been a death in your family. There's been a bankruptcy. There's been a divorce. I don't know, something horrible. Right then you're weak. You think that the devil will ease up. No, that's when he's coming in for the kill. He'll attack you at your weak moment, and he'll come from behind. You'll never even see him coming. That's what God said. He come from behind. You'll never see it. All of a sudden, boom, he got it again. Now you lose your job. Then you find out you got a disease. It's just one thing after the other. And it starts to come, and it gets very, very discouraging. Am I talking to anybody in here? It just starts to mount up on you. Because the devil, the Bible says, Amalekite, that spirit, is studying you. He's watching you. He knows exactly what button to push to cause your marriage to have a fight. He knows exactly what button to push to get your kids to rise up against you. Amen. He used to know what button to push to get my dog to bite me, but I ain't got a dog no more. Hey, there's one way of fighting this thing. Amen. The idea, what I'm trying to say to you, is the devil is constantly studying you, and he's trying to get you so discouraged because of this wave of discouragement that's coming that you just finally come to the place, you know what? I just need to hit pause for a moment. I just need pause. I'm not going to go to church for a while. I love the church. I'll be back, but I just got to hit pause for a while. I just can't go for a while. Or forget that. I'm quitting. I quit altogether. I quit my job. I quit my marriage. I quit. I just quit. Or perhaps something more like, I'm just going to, just for a little while, I'm abandoning that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to try to have joy. I can't have no joy. I can't even put a smile on my face. I'm not doing it. And so the spirit comes and it starts to work you and work your weak areas and break you down, and it's pulling you apart. God says, I'm very angry at that spirit. You cannot forget. He said, do not forget that it's going to come. And you've got to be, it's in your time of peace. When things are going good, suddenly it'll come in, and you have to remember that. Now watch what he says in Exodus 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and named its name, the Lord is my banner. That's the words Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, and the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let me explain that to you. God says, I will be your Jehovah Nissi. I will be your banner. In our world today, and I'm going to be a little antique here, we have walkie-talkies. We have all types of different communication. In the Bible days, they would wave banners. So they'd sound a trumpet, the army would look over there, there'd be maybe a red banner, and that would mean and signify to the troops to swing this way, or a green banner, or whatever. They had banners. It was their way of communicating the method of the battle, how they were going to fight the fight. And so God's saying, here's what God's saying to us. He says, I'm going to get in the fight with you. I'm going to help you communicate within your spirit, I'm going to get your mind, your body, and your soul to communicate. I'm going to help you to fight against this discouraging spirit. And he says, I want you to know it's going to happen every generation. Nobody in this room is going to get away without having to fight this spirit one day. Everybody in this room is going to deal with this spirit. So just listen carefully. God says, I'll get in the fight with you. You ought to say amen about that. He says, I'll war right beside you. I'll come in and I'll help you navigate through the oppression. I'll help you navigate through the discouragement. I will help you raise up a winning strategy to overcome this thing, but you cannot quit. Amen. Everybody say, you cannot quit. God says, I'll put the enemy to flight. I'll beat him down for you. You will not lose this battle, but you can't give up on me. And more importantly, you can't give up on yourself. You can't give up on yourself. Sometimes when things are going bad, you just start to beat yourself up. Nobody else has preached this? I preach it to myself every day. You gotta learn how to fight. So Moses, they swung back around. They pushed the Amalekites away. And then time goes on. And I'm just going to jump down the story a bit. They're in another fight. And in this fight, Moses is up on the top. They're down in the valley fighting. And Joshua is winning the battle. As long as Moses' arms are up, Joshua wins. So we know the story. You can only hold your arms up so long. I preached a sermon a while back, and I had a guy come up and just hold his arms up while I was preaching. After a while, you could see the people feeling bad for him because he's sweating. I mean, I had him standing there with his arms up for a long time. I thought, wow, that dude's really got endurance. And when I saw him just crumbling down, I finally called somebody to come help him out. The people were relieved. Oh, thank God. Pastor finally figured it out. The guy can only hold his arms up so long. You know, but this is what happened. Aaron and Hur went there. The picture is this, that sometimes you're weak and you need somebody that's strong to help you out. And sometimes you're strong and somebody beside you is weak and you need to pull inside and help them out. This is the picture. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. We need one another. And there's times when you're going to just realize that you're talking with somebody and you'll hear them speak in discouragement. You'll hear it coming out of their mouth. You'll hear what they're saying. At that moment, you don't need to, oh, yeah, I know how you feel, brother. Don't jump in with them. Say, let me tell you what. God's going to help you win this fight. Here's what we can do together. And you start telling them, here's what we can do together. Don't join into the discouragement. Rise up above the discouragement. You be strong. They're weak. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somehow within us, we're such lovers that we just want to enjoy with them the discouragement. It ain't going to help them. I don't know. I thought I was preaching good. Hey, I'm a king and I'm a priest. Everybody say that. I'm a king and I'm a priest. Say this with me. I worship God and I fight devils. That's who we are. Nehemiah said, every person is a soldier. And he gave them swords and spears and bows. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, you're a soldier in the army of God. Listen to Ephesians 6. You guys know this, but finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He's saying to us today, church, you have to fight. When the enemy comes, you have to resist him. Submit to God and resist the devil. Nehemiah says, when it's time to fight, fight. When it's time to build, build. It's not either or. It's not either or. It's both. Worshippers and warriors. You're not one or the other. You're both. When I go into my prayer time, I dress myself as a priest. I worship God. I commune with God. I let his presence come upon me. But when I walk out of my prayer time, I put on my warring garment. Amen. I put on my armor. I walk out and I face war. I go to fight. When I'm praying, I'm a priest. When I'm out, I'm worshiping, I'm a priest. But there comes a time I can't stay in there all the time. You got to walk out of here. You can't just stay there. You got to go out. Amen. Jerusalem is the city of God. It's the only city in all of human history and civilization that was founded by God. The Bible says it was most likely established by Melchizedek, the guy that Pastor Brad was talking about, the king of Salem. But the word Jerusalem means the place of God's abiding peace. The place of God's abiding peace. Now, over time, this group of warring people called the Jebusites. The Jebusites began to attack Jerusalem. Jebusite, the word means to beat something down. Jebusite means to beat something down. In other words, it's a portrayal of discouragement. Just keep beating it down 10 times, beat it and beat it until it's discouraged. That's what the word means. So as they've been showing on the screen for a while, the first people they decided to send in was out of Joshua 15. They're going to try to fight these Jebusites. They send in Judah. Judah was given the first responsibility to drive out the Jebusites. Judah's a picture of praise. It's a picture of worship. These are the priests. These are the worshipers. These are the builders. And they're going out. And the Bible says that they couldn't do it. They could not conquer the Jebusites. The city had been renamed to Jebus. And they couldn't conquer them. Now they got a little portion of the city. But not all of it. So now they're living in concession. Kind of a divided land. A divided church. A divided marriage. A divided whatever. We got part of it back. We're living together. But we ain't kissing. Concession. That's where they're living. That's what's going on in their world. And so they say, this isn't good. So in the very next book, the book of Judges, the first chapter, they decide to send in the tribe of the kings, the Benjamites, the tribe of Benjamin. And so they're now going to come in and try to drive out the Jebusites. But if you read that out, you'll find out they also failed. So far, we've had the praisers, and they failed. And we've had the kings, and they failed. We've had the priests, they failed, and the kings, and they failed. But God raises up another man who is both. He's not just either or, he's both. He is a king and a priest, and his name is David. God raises up this man named David. In 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, David comes in to Jerusalem. And he tells the Jebusites, you're leaving this city. Now the Jebusites are up on the wall, they got some blind people, crippled people. I'm not going to go into all that. But it's a picture of Isaac and Jacob, and the crippled is representative of their ancestors who the angel crippled. He said, we've whipped all you guys. Basically, here's what's happening. They say, we have conquered your praisers. We've conquered your history. We've conquered your relatives. We've conquered your kings. We've conquered everybody. And David said, yeah, you've conquered our praisers, and you've conquered our kings, but I'm both. I'm a praising king. And he says, I'm a worshiping warrior. I'm a fighter and a lover. And I carry a big spear. Amen. And that's what he says. And David, the Bible says, took back the city of Jebus. He stormed it, took it back, got it all. Renamed it Zion. And the people rose up and began to call it the city of David. Why was this? Because David drove out the stronghold of the enemy. How did he drive out the stronghold? How do you drive out the stronghold? With both praise and worship and warfare and faith. You're going to have praise and warfare. It will take both. When those two come together in your world, you can't just, we've been trained, and I'm not beating this down, we've been trained when everything is going really bad, turn on the radio and worship. And there, you should definitely do that. But somewhere, you got to turn the radio off and go back to real life. Somewhere, you got to come out of that. I mean, you can only get in the huddle so long, you got to actually play football. Somewhere, you got to go out there and crash somebody's helmet. Amen. You cannot win without doing that. You got to move it down the field. Right? It's the same thing in your life. You have to learn how to rise up and say, wait a minute, I'm also going to fight. And you got to get ready to scrap. Now listen, I believe that we are entering into a convergence of a great awakening in America. I really believe that God is doing something dynamic right now, something powerful. For the first time really in my life, I've been pastoring 40 years, the body of Christ has actually got a bit of a revelation, understanding of righteousness, the right standing in Christ. They have a revelation of grace, what God has done for us. We're catching on that victory is ours. We're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. Jesus already won. We're catching on. We are a miracle generation. We're starting to see some signs and some wonders, different things. We're learning that there's more to it than just deliverance. There's deliverance and then dominion. They got delivered out of Egypt and they didn't have dominion and it messed them all up. Somewhere you got to have dominion too. You got to, it's one thing to drive the enemy out. It's another thing to occupy the territory, to come in and set up a new government. But we're catching on to that. This is the first time that the church has been in this place. And I believe God is right now causing us to rebuild, but he's also calling for us to fight. And somehow the church these last few months has gone into fear mode and we're backed up and we're afraid of everything. We're listening to every statistic that anybody can give you any statistic they want. It doesn't mean it's real. Amen. They can manipulate these statistics. Whatever they may say anything they want them to say, however they want them to say it. And so I'm not trying to beat up on that. I'm trying to say it's a spirit. It's a spirit. And you have to somewhere say, wait a minute. I'm a lover of God, yes, but I'm also a fighter of devils. And I'm not just going to lay down and let you run over my family, run over my economics, run over my finances, run over my life. I'm not just going to lay down and give up here. I'm not just surrendering to the Antichrist. I serve the Christ. I'm not giving up here. I'm not only a motivator and a builder, but I'm also a fighter and a warrior. And I'm going to rise up and I'm going to believe God. And I know that you snuck up behind me. The Bible says the lion snuck up behind Samson and jumped on him. You know what Samson did? Tore the lion in half. Amen. God says, I'll tell you what, you stick with me, and when the lion jumps on you from behind, I'll help you tear him in half. Amen. I believe our God will help us. I'm not saying be silly. I'm not saying be cocky. I'm saying we have to know that our God is still in charge, that God has not given over the world. God did not surrender to any kind of a virus or a pandemic or an economic recession. God has not surrendered. He's still in charge. And it's going to come out exactly the way he said it would in the end. You can read your Bible and see how this thing's in. You don't have to walk around in fear. You can see how it ends. I want to be on that side with God. I want God to be right beside harvest and all of us. And I believe God's going to use this church to be... Listen, this church blows my mind. It really does. No, it really does. I came into here a little over a year ago, and... this church has, we'll just say 150 people in it, but the influence, everybody in town knows about this church. It's the weirdest thing. It's got influence that's way beyond its size. And I believe God's going to give us not only numerical growth, we are going to see more people come, but the influence of the kingdom. That's what you're fighting for right now. That's what you're fighting. That's, I know you don't realize it. It's you're thinking you're trying to hold on to your job, hold on to your marriage, hold on. You're fighting right now for the kingdom influence. You're fighting against Jebusites and Amalekites. You're fighting against spirits that are trying to push you down and break you down and get you to pause and run and quit and say, you know what, I think I need to go somewhere else. I'm not really connecting there. All that kind of stuff. Weird little spirits. Somewhere you have to rise up and say, I ain't going nowhere. I'm right here. Amen. You got to learn how to stand the ground. You got to learn how to fight. Amen. You got to worship. We got to worship like we've never worshiped before. Our Tuesday nights are getting better and better. I encourage you to come out and pray. I encourage you to come out and pray. I'm going to just give a quick testimony. I didn't want to come last Tuesday night. I was tired. I wanted to hit pause and watch a Netflix is what I wanted to do. find me a Western and watch somebody kill somebody. That's what preachers do, because you can't do it yourself. You watch. But I told Gail, we better go down there. So we came down. Man, these folks was praying in here. There was some real prayer going on in this house. I was listening to people. It was moving our hearts. I mean, I was really moved, seriously. And then comes time to quit. And Chuck's leading the group, and he says, hey, he spoke to my wife, Gail. And he says, she's getting ready to face a hip surgery, which is true. She has to have a hip replacement. Let's pray for her. So we prayed for her. Well, out of that comes Kim. Kim's the nurse over there. Wave at everybody. That's Kim. Kim comes and says, listen, I'm a nurse for an orthopedic surgeon. She says, what kind of surgery are you going to have? She starts saying all these words to us. We'd never even heard those words. Our doctor hadn't said nothing about none of that. So she starts telling us the different kinds. So the next day we go to talk to our doctor and find out that he's doing the kind that we don't want to have. And we started looking on Google ratings and found out he wasn't the guy we wanted. Wasn't quite enough stars behind his name. And we started reading those little reports, and those reports weren't so happy. And all of a sudden, God's opening our little eyeballs. So we make a call to Kim, and Kim is able to get us right in with a great doctor who does the kind of surgery we want. Amazing. And I thought, thank God I was a worshiper. Thank God I was a worshiper. Amen. We would have missed that fight. We'd have been in a fight that we didn't even have to be in. The one we was getting ready to take was a 2-month recovery. The one we're getting ready to do now is what, 10 days? 10-day recovery. There's a big difference between 2 months and 10 days. Which one would you like to have? Amen. Are you listening to me? So there's something about that worship that releases opportunities. But when the opportunities come, you got to be willing to fight. We had to go right straight down there and face up with the doctor, face up with the whole team and say, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, the doctor gets mad in a very nice way. Well, if you'd like to have a second opinion, cancel your appointment. Just canceled us right there on the budget. Canceled us. I said, look at the devil. Got him on the run right now. I'm not telling you that doctor's the devil. I'm saying the devil's trying to mess with my family. Amen. Are you understanding? It's a life thing you're dealing with. You got to understand this is a spiritual battle that you're in. And Amalekites are going to come. And all these spirits are going to come after you. The Jebusites, the Amalekites. You got to understand this is what's happening to me and I'm not backing down. Does that make sense to everybody in here? The next spirit that's going to come after you after that's confusion. We'll be talking about that on Wednesday night. And before we get done, we're going to talk about how he's going to come after your money. Which we can see that happening in our nation right now. And when we get all done, we're going to deal with witchcraft. How he'll mess with your head with witchcraft. It's all in the book of Nehemiah. It's amazing. You ought to read it sometime. You might want to read it ahead of time so you actually be up on the story. Just take a little time and read that book. It's mind-blowing. Okay, are you guys with me so far? So Ezra came in first, and he built the temple. That's rebuilt our spirit. But now Nehemiah is rebuilding the walls and the gates. That's your praise. That's your life. Okay? I want you to bow your heads today. Discouragement's real. Nobody escapes the Amalekites. Every generation. But God says, I'll get right in the fight with you and I'll give you navigational tools to get through it. Right before every great victory comes a great discouragement. Jesus says, just walk with me a few more days. Last week we talked about you're going to have to get through all the rubbish, all the trash that they threw out of those broken down walls. To get rid of that trash, they had to burn it. It wasn't just their trash. It was their granddaddy's trash, their daddy's trash, whole bunch of trash. You got to get through all of that stuff. That's all the enemy's intimidation and lies and mockery, all of that, if you want to build your life. Now, I believe God brought you here because you're on your way to a great breakthrough. And you're going to hear a lot of lies, maybe up to 10 times. Same old lie. The devil's always been a liar. He's a liar and all of his buddies are liars. But God's word is true. And if you'll put your trust in God, you're destined to win. You're destined to win. So, Father, right now in this house, We place our trust in you. Lord, we do not back down. We know that what you have said will not return void. We know, God, that we're going to fight these spirits, but you're going to be beside us, and we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. And we know, Lord, that you're going to establish our families. You're going to establish us in places that we haven't planted and we haven't built. You're going to give them to us. We know, Lord, that you're going to prosper and bless us. We know, Lord, that you're going to strengthen our lives and you're going to bring health to us. We know, Lord, you're going to bless this church and bless this community through this church. And I thank you for it all. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I have a question. I just need you to be honest with me. Are you fighting some discouragement? Recently, have you gone through a wave of just discouragement? If so, I want you to lift your hand up. Not to me, you're lifting it to Christ. He'll recognize you're fighting some discouragement. Hands all over the place. Anybody else? You want to be honest about it. If you don't be honest, you can't. I don't know, that's a bad way to start with God by not being honest. Be honest. Be honest. If you're fighting discouragement, you're fighting. If you're not fighting discouragement today, get this iPad, whatever they call it, podcast, and download it, because you're going to need it in the near future. Everybody fights a fight. I rebuke the spirit of discouragement and fear in this house. I release faith and a warring, worshiping spirit into our lives. Lord, everyone that raised their hand, give them the tenacity to rise up and begin to declare with their own mouth and speak, I will not quit. I will stand, I will be strong, and I trust my God. I trust that Jesus died on the cross and his blood is sufficient for my deliverance. And he has delivered me, and I will walk in the dominion that he has established. I will take his word and I will keep those words, those promises, and I'll put them into my heart. And I know they will not return void. That they will be performed. God will perform every word, every promise he said to me. Now, I'm telling you, you go somewhere. I don't care if you do it with your family or by yourself, but you get somewhere and you make some declarations. You make some declarations. You make some strong statements. You become a warrior as well as a praiser. And you let God help you today. You push back this spirit and come back on Wednesday night, or at least get online if you can't make it in. Turn on and hear about confusion. Let God help you with confusion. I don't know everybody here today. Thank God for that. Is there someone in here this morning that you've come as a guest or a friend or whatever, however, it doesn't matter how you got here, but you know you're not right with God. Somehow there's a break between you and God. And you need Jesus to come back into your life. Is there somebody here that we can include you in a closing prayer? We're not going to bring you to the front. We're just going to include you in that prayer. Anybody at all say, Pastor, that's me. I need to get things right with God. Would you lift your hand up and set it back down? Anyone at all today? I'm trying to see. It's a little difficult with the lights. Anyone at all? Amen. God bless you guys today. Will you stand with me all over the room? Did you learn something today? Did you? Discouragement comes to all of us. All of us. But you don't let discouragement ever push you. Don't let it push you. Push right back. Now in a moment we're going to sing a song of worship and praise and just get our spirits right. Then we're going to exit through that door and we're going to go find those girls that just left and sign up for the Esther. Some of us guys are going to wear wigs and sneak in. Probably not. But anyways, ladies, I encourage you. It'll be a great, great time if you make the time for it. God will touch your life. So we're going to sing a song of worship, and I love you guys and appreciate you. Thank God you're here today. Go in victory. Enjoy your lunch. Remember, gluttony is a sin. I told you about that one guy, big, heavy guy, came to the altar. This is real. I mean, he had a demon. He was manifested. He was upset. And I said, obesity, come out of him. He said, for a cookie, I will. Amen. Now enjoy your meal. We love you guys and appreciate you. I need to shut up. Would you just lead us in a worship song? And let's just worship together. And we'll sing it through one time. Pastor Brad will come and dismiss us. God bless you guys today.